Father, we are so grateful for your mercy and your grace. Father, we want to acknowledge your work of grace. We want to acknowledge your work of mercy, Lord, in our lives, Father. Even as those of us who are here who are graduating, Lord, as we look back, Lord, last 3 or 4, however many years, Lord, we want to give you thanks and we want to focus on you. We want to turn to you by turning to your word. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would receive all the honor and glory. Father, draw us, fill us with your spirit. Draw us to yourself through your word. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. One could say that getting a college degree is a race, and some of us here today are about to finish that race, crossing the finish line. However, in our passage today, the Apostle Paul talks about the race, the ultimate race. In some sense, the only race that will count. The race of living a Christian life. I would like to focus on two things regarding this ultimate race from our passage. Here, I believe Paul points out two main things. He talks about the purpose of this race, and he also talks about the manner in which we should run this race. So, first, the purpose of this race. As we live our Christian lives, it's very easy for us to forget why we are doing the things that we do. In the midst of busyness and in the midst of hectic schedule, as we are trying to work hard and do things, we forget why we're doing what we're doing. So often we need to ask ourselves, why am I trying so hard to do these things, to live a biblical Christian life, trying to grow in faith and follow Jesus? Because the thing is that when we forget, and we often do, when we forget, when we lose the sight of the purpose for which we are doing what we're doing, we often tend to lose our motivation. When we lose our focus, that's when we often become bitter and resentful. We fall into self-pity. We start to seek people's recognitions, approvals, and praise. And in the worst case scenario, we could just end up quitting, stop running the race altogether, not persevering to the end. In this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, especially earlier on, Paul was talking about his life. He was talking about things that he was doing in his Christian life. And he was doing things that were sort of, that were unusual. A couple of things that what he did was that even though he had right to be married to a Christian woman, he chose not to be married. And he said that in some cities where he worked as a missionary, he had the right to be compensated for his work as a missionary. He chose not to be compensated. And then sometimes he would act like a Jewish person that he was in his upbringing, but sometimes he would act like a Gentile person, non-Jewish person. And describing all that, he tells us in verse 22, he says, "To the weak, I became weak, that I may win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may, by all means, save some." And summarizing in verse 23, he says, "I do all things," why? "For the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." He says here, all the thing, everything that he does in a short phrase, he says, for the sake of gospel, but But what does that mean? He says more specifically, he wants to become a fellow partaker in the gospel, or fellow partaker in the blessings and or the benefits of the gospel. So that's what is driving. That's the purpose why Paul is doing what he's doing. He wants to partake in the blessing of the gospel. Put it in a negative way. He says the same thing in verse 27 in a negative way. He says, I discipline my body and make it my slave. Why? So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So positively, he wants to be a fellow partaker of the blessings of the gospel. Negatively put, he says he does what he does so that after having preached to others, he himself will not be disqualified from receiving the blessings or the benefits of the gospel. In other words, he's doing what he's doing in order to receive the eternal salvation that God was offering through the gospel. For Paul here, as we see in this passage, his purpose is very clear. I believe he puts it forward very clearly in a positive way and a negative way as well. And especially as a preacher, this is a very convicting and helpful way. He says, after having preached to others, he doesn't want himself to be disqualified. That's why he is very careful in running the race, in living his Christian life. Not only for others, not only for the glory of God, but also for his own eternal salvation. And I believe this is very helpful to us, because just as Paul did, this should be the reason why we do what we do. We do it for our own eternal salvation. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Heaven and hell, eternal life and eternal death, eternal joy and eternal misery, they are laid before us. As we hear and try to live out the glory, the implications of the gospel or the teachings of the gospel, our eternal destiny is hanging on the balance. Which will it be for us? What will be our eternal destiny? So, the application is, don't forget the purpose for which you're living your Christian life. If you forget, and we often do, remember the reason why we do what we do. Remind yourself. Preach to yourself the truth. Don't lose the focus. Keep your eyes on the prize, because, you know, when push comes to shove and the pressure and the stress of our lives get to us, nothing less than this all-important purpose will motivate us and keep us from pressing on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Be motivated by it. When we fool ourselves, we're doing what we're doing primarily for the sake of others, we often get bitter and resentful. We forget that we are needy, empty, poor sinners in need of the blessings and grace of God. We need to remind ourselves. We're not the saviors. We're not the messiahs. We're not the saviors. We are needy, helpless people who are receiving the grace and mercy from the gracious hand of God. Remind yourself and ask yourself, what do you want to do? What do you really want to do? These are the truth of the word. These are what is laid before you. What do you want to do? So reminding of ourselves this ultimate purpose of what we do, I believe is very helpful for us. So that's my first point. Second point is because the race that we are running is for the purpose of our eternal salvation. Hence, obviously, the manner in which we run the race is so very important and critical. If there was anything that was really important in life, this is it. What else is more important? If anything is important and precious in life, this is it. So, Paul says in verse 24, he says, "Do you not know that those who run the race, those who run in a race, all run, but only one receives the prize?" There is only one gold medal winner, right? He says, run in such a way that you may win, that you may win the prize. What Paul says here, he is instructing the Christians in Corinth, is that just as there may be hundreds, thousands of people running in a marathon, right? There's only one winner. So if you want to win, you have to win with resolve and focus and dedication. He says, run in a such a way. So the manner, the sort of the picture, the illustration Paul gives is that as if you want to win the gold medal, run in a such a way. And then he gives three specific things what he means by such a way. And first thing he points out what he means by such a way is in verse 25. He says, "Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things." This is a very convicting verse for me, right? Because, as we all know, no athlete will become a winner, let alone real athlete, without self-control. If you cannot exercise self-control over how much you eat, what you eat, how much you exercise, when do you get up, leisurely activities that you do, unless you exercise self-control, you cannot be an athlete. And he uses that to talk about Christian life. In Christian life, if we do not exercise self-control, that we don't merely react or do things out of our impulses or influences from outside, but we control ourselves based on the truth of the Word of God. Unless we exercise self-control, we cannot compete and win the prize. According to Galatians 5, self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit, or one of the aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Second thing he points out is verse 26. He says, "Therefore, I run in a such a way as not without aim." He runs not without aim. Double negative. This is a big no-no, but in Greek it's okay, right? Is it how they sometimes emphasize, not without aim. In other words, he runs with clear aim, clear focus and purpose. He just doesn't do things for the sake of doing it or because everyone else is doing or that's just thing to do. He has a very clear aim so that he doesn't waste his time, waste his focus. He doesn't get distracted. He runs not without aim. Number three, which is sort of a similar point from his first point, exercising self-control. Number three, he disciplines his body and make it his slave. The understanding is that his body, his flesh, is fallen. His sinful nature resides in his body, so that he doesn't merely yield to his sinful nature, his body, but he disciplines his body by the help of God, through the help of the Holy Spirit, and he makes his body his slave. According to, he submits his desires, by the help of God, by the grace of God, he disciplines his body and makes it his slave. Why? Going back to our first point, because this is the single most important thing in our lives, running this race. Today, during the commencement, some people will be awarded. They will receive some kind of prizes or honors. Some person will receive honorary degree. Some of you in your diploma, you're going to have the honor of, different honor reflecting your achievements, right? And some of you may have a pang of regret. I should have studied more. Some of you, I could have done so much more, or I should not have done. I'm not going to go into details as to some of the things you guys do here, wasting your time, but, right? And so some of you, will be glad that you put in the time and energy that you did last 4 years. Some of you will have regrets. That sense of regret or that sense of gladness is just a foreshadow of what is going to happen on the most important day of reckoning, on the judgment day. So if, great news. If you have lots of regret, that's okay. Because this is just a pointer. This is just a trial run. The real race, the real commencement, if you will, the real graduation, if you will, the real judgment day is still to come. And that's the only one, ultimately, that's going to count. And it's going to count for eternity. So keep that in your mind. As you go on, as you work, as you engage in many different things and you deal with the stresses and responsibilities of your adult life, remember for what you're living. Remember what God has called you to. He hasn't called you to the same things that these people in this world are going after. One day you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you will have to give account for your life. And we want to stand and hear our Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my Father." And in order to do that, not by with our own strength, but by dependence, by asking and praying and knocking and seeking and waiting and experiencing the help and the grace of God, we want to carefully, if you're ever going to do something carefully, this is the thing that we want to do carefully. If you want to invest in something worthwhile, this is something you need to worthwhile, your spiritual growth. Grow. I know some of you have very difficult time with self-control, like I do. Disciplining your body, your appetite, your impulses, time management, your focus. That's okay, because with the help of God, we can grow. And that's what He does. He helps us. But we have to grow. We have to press on. We have to build. With clear aim, not without aim and focus. So it is my prayer for you all of us, but especially those of us who are graduating and leaving us, that first, that you don't forget, that you don't forget why you started to run this race in the first place. That you remember, that you remind yourself through the Word of God in the Spirit daily, that we do what we do in order that we may gain Christ. So that we may have one thing, the only thing that really matters in life. The presence of God in His eternal kingdom. That we do it for our eternal salvation in the glory of God. I pray that God would enlighten your spiritual eyes, that He will strengthen your inner being through His Spirit as we meditate on His Word, that you'll be reminded daily why you are living, why you are pursuing what you're pursuing. Secondly, I pray that you would continue to invest in your spiritual growth with utter seriousness, earnestness, with a sense of utmost importance and urgency, that you pursue a life of discipline with the help of God. I pray that you do so with growing sincerity, humility, brokenness, and the fear of the Lord. I pray that you do indeed make every effort, that you pay whatever price you must pay, letting go of whatever hindrances and competing distractions, so that you will make Christ your only priority, your only love, only passion, your only God in your life. As Daniel comes up and lead us in a song of response, I pray that God would do this for us, because as we all know, as I always say, it's a progression of lifetime. So I really pray that you'll be reminded, especially on this special day.